Good afternoon and welcome to the channel Final Bell on the Rural Radio Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. Well, some negativity. It was just the theme of the day all around. We're going to take a look at kind of what those moving factors were, what we're seeing weighed in, because, you know, it is the 26th of March, and we have been talking for weeks about March 28th, and that's coming around the corner. But how much of buy the rumor, sell the fact is in there? And we're going to look at some residual use numbers. This is an area I'm really looking forward to finding out more information about it. And that means we got to bring in Alan Brugler. He's with Brugler Marketing and Management. And Alan, let's start there. Let's talk about these grain stocks from residual use and how you get those numbers and what you're seeing and what it will mean for our grain guys.
Well, the simple way to explain it is residual use is it's gone and we don't know where it went. But you can also have in these quarterly reports negative residual use, which means we found it. We don't know where it came from. The way you do it in soybeans is a fairly simple example. You just take the March 1 stocks minus the December stocks. Then you subtract the crush. Then you subtract the exports. And anything else that's missing or there that shouldn't be is residual. And the last few years, this March report has had a negative residual, about 20 million or 30 million bushels. I mean, USDA found a little bit back that they thought was gone in December. But if it's a big number, if it's plus 80 or minus 80 or something like that, then it starts to raise questions about last year's crop production, whether USDA overestimated or underestimated. They won't change that number until September because – you know, sometimes it evens itself out. But that's something I watch pretty closely because particularly in corn where we had some major questions here in Nebraska about the upward revision they did in corn yields in the January report, the grain stocks would be one way of finding out if that was overstated or if it really was justified.
So what is the one thing highlight-wise that you are looking to keep a very close eye on when these numbers come out at 11 o'clock on Thursday?
Well, unfortunately, there's always two, right? There's there's a grain stock surprise, and then there's a planted acreage surprise. And the planted acreage is more of a new crop factor, of course. The grain stocks typically you wouldn't think would be as big of a market mover, but once or twice, USDA has really floored us with major revisions. And I can remember some days a couple years ago where we were 60 or 70 cent move because of that. So, you know, you can't discount it. The acreage number probably has the biggest swing factor to it because it could be, the trade estimates can be off 3 or 4 million acres on that one. We've seen that movie a couple of times. You know, we're pretty comfortable that the corn acreage is going to be down from last year and bean acreage is going to be up. Soy corn ratio says that. The soy-corn ratio in the crop insurance says that. When you get to crop budgets, it kind of depends on where you are in the country. Some producers are telling me their corn break-even is a lot better than my assumption for the country as a whole, and so they're going heavier corn. But in other areas, they say, no, it's we didn't get the cheap anhydrous put on last fall because we can't do that here, and, you know, our price structure is different.
So looking at, I mean, obviously the lower numbers we've seen today have kind of been, in some of the readings I had done, and please correct me if I'm wrong, I mean, there's just a lot of positioning that's going on ahead of this. And as I talked to a couple of grain guys, they said, yeah, we're just going to sit. We don't plan to do anything until after that report comes out. Is that kind of the feel that's out there for this market at this point?
Yeah, again, it depends on where you're at. We've got some people that are trying to get some basis pushes and move a little product before the report, simply because after the report, if it's bullish, the farmers clam up and don't want to sell until it gets higher, and if it's bearish, they clam up because they feel like they missed it. Okay, so there's some interest in trying to get a little product moved across the scale. And the farmer's got the flip side of that same perception there. I did notice open interest went up quite a bit yesterday in corn, even though the price change was negligible, which tells me there's either A, some more commercial movement creating hedge volume, or there's more spec interest because they're trying to get in ahead of what's typically a pretty volatile price report.
Do you expect basis to remain flat, especially on, for example, corn?
Basis is a function of price, of board price to a degree. So if you get a bullish report, basis will typically get weaker. You know, if the board's up 10, you'll only get 8 of it in the cash market, that type of thing. The problem with corn basis is, as long as it looks like we have a 2 billion bushel or 2.1 billion bushel old crop carryover, it never has to get super tight. You'll get local areas that are running low on inventory, and they'll have to bid up or bring it in from outside, and that means freight cost. Beans are not as loose, you know, but you expect the basis there to get better as we get closer to summer, because we do have very strong crush demand, and you know, as the pile gets smaller, then you've got to bid a little more aggressively.
Do you expect any changes or what you've heard with the safrinha corn crop? Because I know weather has been such an issue in South America.
I think we're still playing catch up. You know, there's the big spread between the CONOB numbers and the USDA numbers for corn and beans both. You saw the ag attaché went down to 152 and change on the bean estimate for Brazil, getting closer to the CONOB number. We did a study that basically said most years the CONAB will come up a little bit from where they are in March. USDA will come down a little bit from where they are in March. But this is an unusually wide spread in the estimates this year. Weather-wise, it looks to me like you're really getting Mato Grosso off to a great start for the safrinha corn. You've got 1 inch to 2 inch rains over a pretty good portion of the...
More is coming up. Stick around. It is the Channel Final Bell on the Rural Radio Network.
Channel and Fontenelle have joined forces to bring you a product lineup that's second to none. Here's Channel Seed Pro Steve Bristol from Bristol Ag at Ravenna.
You know, we have the best and most complete seed portfolio in the corn and soybean industry, and it just got better. No seed company has a hybrid built specifically for each field's individual demands other than Channel.
For more, talk to your local seed professional or go to channel.com. Always read and follow label directions, IRM, green marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Bell on the Rural Radio Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. Our conversation does continue with Alan Brugler with Brugler Marketing and Management. And we're kind of talking about all the different things that are happening leading up to this report that's due out on Thursday. But it should come as no surprise then that there's a little bit of buy the rumor, sell the fact maybe, working into this crop report.
Well, that's always a risk when you had a trending move coming into a report. And that's simply that even if the report's bullish, that you'd already rallied and the market triggers profit taking. Or conversely, if we get a little bit of a sell-off between now and midday on Thursday, then there's a little more potential for a bounce after the report. But you got some of these indicators pretty overbought at the end of last week, you know, stochastics in the 80s and so forth. So you needed a little bit of housekeeping correction here, whether you get that before the report or after the report. It's actually you're less likely to get a sell the fact reaction if we kind of go neutral or flat into the report or a little bit of a pullback after the run-up we've had for most of March.
All right, let's talk a little bit about bean and palm oil. What are you seeing there at this point?
Well, we've seen a pretty respectable rally in bean oil. It was up actually had a nice little rally on Monday, gave some of it back today. The story there is mostly that palm oil's had a bit of a run. All right, palm oil's gone up. Canola's kind of tried to follow. And that's allowed bean oil to get up off its can. Bean oil on the nearby May futures had gotten down to almost 44 cents a pound. The bean oil's problem is not that we don't have biodiesel demand. The problem is that the subsidy levels have dropped. The California CARB credits have been diminished quite a bit from where they were, say, 2 years ago. They were a buck and a half. Now they're down into the 40 and 50 cent area. Basically what I'm saying is bean oil had to get cheaper in order to work into the biodiesel instead of yellow fats and greases and things of that nature. Palm oil was also getting in on the action through the used cooking oil. So bottom line is if palm oil goes up, canola goes up, that allows the bean oil to go up a little bit. And that added to the boost we got in soybeans there 2 weeks ago.
Switch gears, take a look at this livestock market, and both live cattle and feeder cattle to the lower side today. And I had one cattle guy go, darn, you think when corn is down like it is, we would be able to get a little bit of green action going on in the feeder cattle, but it definitely didn't happen.
No, and the issue in feeders really started, I mean, we've been basing or coiling, whatever you want to call it, for really since the middle of February. But you got some sell signals, particularly there's a technique called the one-third speed line. We broke that on March 14th, tried to get back above it all the way up to the 21st and couldn't do it. So, and then we just fell apart on the 21st and 22nd. So you had bad technical action there, going into the cattle on feed report. And then, of course, the cattle on feed report was not friendly for cattle either. And that result is it kind of all came to a head today. And you saw the big washout in the feeders. And also, we're talking 500 points on the April. And that bled over into the live cattle as well.
So can we get out of this slump? Or is this something we're going to have to deal with the rest of the week?
Well, the recent history in these ag markets has been if you have two or three days in one direction, then you fade at the other two. All right. Don't anybody start trading on that. But we've had a lot of, we used to say turnaround Tuesday, whatever you did on Monday, you faded it. Lately, there's been a lot more of these up, up, down, down kind of deals and then go the other direction. So certainly, if we're going to keep this pressure up into tomorrow, we'd probably expect some profit taking going into weekend. What you need to do is hit some support levels. There's various retracements. In fact, we got pretty close to the 38% retracement on the lows today on cattle. I forget which contract I was looking at there, but we're not changing the long-term scenario at all. The long-term scenario is we're still in the liquidation phase of the cattle cycle. We've got fewer and fewer calves out there. The steer numbers in the feedlots have been supplemented by quite a few heifers. That's still bullish long-term in terms of reducing the mama cow population and the cattle numbers down the road. But in the short run, you've got speculative considerations.
Well, great stuff today, Alan. What's the best way for folks to get a hold of you?
Oh, please call us 402-697-3623. Visit our website, www.brugler, that's Brugler marketing, all one word, .com. Follow us on X at Brugler MKTG.
And that is today's Channel Final Bell, being brought to you by the Channel Seed and a Channel Seed professional on the Rural Radio Network.